gray hair, and bald. I earned this, amen. I want to speak to you tonight, a sermon here in 1 Samuel, but we're going to start in James 5. If you turn with me to James chapter 5. Before I begin, I want to tell you an interesting story. This is a familiar passage you all know. You've probably read it 1,000 times. James 5:16. Before I begin there, a little note on Ground Zero. A greeting from Ground Zero, amen. I mean, I was in the city that day. It was Tuesday. I got to walk in the office. My wife calls, my associate tells me, my wife called. It was a plane that just hit the World Trade. I said, oh, God. She called me up. She's frantic on the phone. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, is in a job. I placed her there. I'm in sales. I placed her at a job there, a minority brokerage firm called Mae Davis. They're on the 87th floor. The plane hit on the 89th, 90th floor, to World Trade Center. She called right as the plane hit, and I guess it went dead. So we were sitting there praying ahead. My mother-in-law was coming out of her unbelievable. You see your mother, and then on TV, no less, the mother sees the tower fall down. That's a scary thing when you're right there in the midst of it, but I'll tell you. I'm not saying we don't deserve it, but it was scary. I said, oh, Lord, are you coming back? You're coming back. Not only did one tower go down, we had two towers go down. And in the span of an hour and a half, God just wiped that thing out. 1995, Congress passed an act taking that embassy and moving it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, as you've been hearing here, putting the embassy over there. Four times Bill Clinton tally-stepped. Four times. George Bush, you know how George Bush got in presidency? You know how he got in? He vowed to the Jews in America and he vowed to the Jews in Israel that he was going to be responsible for moving the embassy. And it comes up for him to move the embassy. Number five. He doesn't do it. He's afraid of the Arabs and the oil embargo, just like Churchill was. God said, you're afraid of that? I'll give you something to be afraid of. And he told Osama bin Laden, drop two on the golden calf. That was a scary day. Wasn't much work done that day, amen? Everybody's okay. I started off here in 95. Ward called me to the Bronx. It's funny, I used to sit in that second seat over there right by Brother Ginsky. And that's the sister Kiev over there. And he started over there in 95. Dr. Ruck would always say, Brother Kogan from the Bronx. Brother Kogan, I was from Brooklyn. I wasn't from Bronx. He'd keep saying, Brother Kogan from the Bronx. Brother, I said, why does he keep saying that? I got to tell him. I told him, didn't matter. In 95, the Lord called me to go to the Bronx. The Lord does strange things. Can you hear me now? Okay. James chapter 5. Lord was good to us. We have two boys, Jonathan and David. I named them after, I think, the two best people in the Bible. I know David has his faults, but David was born to us in 1997. He's sitting over there with my wife. Jonathan's up there in the Sunday school room. God's been good to us, amen. Hey, I got nothing to complain about, amen. Not nothing. Zero. God's sustained us and given everything we need. Looking, if you would, with me, James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual. There's two things that I like to look at. Number one, it's effectual. Number two, it's fervent. There's two things. It's effectual and it's fervent. Effectual means that you go beyond the surface. It means you go beyond the skim of a river, of a skim of something else, something that's just on the dross. It's something that's beyond, you know, thank you, God, for this food. It's something beyond just regular, you know, thank you, Lord, lay me down. Oh, Lord, help me to get to the place on time. Oh, Lord, help me to be okay. Effectual means it's something that's got some substance to it.
Amen.
We need more of that. And then it says, not only does it say the effectual, it says the fervent prayer. Fervent.
Is that better?
Is that better? Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, two places again. Made in America. I want to talk to you tonight about a lady in the Bible who exemplified James 5:16. She had two things about her. She was effectual. She went not just on the surface of things, but she had some depth to her. She had some substance. And she wasn't just fervent, she was passion. Passion. And she had passion, and she had some substance there that just deleted of herself of self. And I want to take you over there to 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is Hannah's prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 1, beginning in verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathum Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless this sermon. God, I pray that you'd anoint my lips, as Brother Hernandez had said before. Continue to, Lord, help us now receive the word of God with meekness. God, I pray that you'd be in this meeting tonight, as you already have. Just get the flesh out, and no jitters, and Lord, bring forth your fury, bring forth your power. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Look in verse 5, if you would. Verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Bible says, but the Lord had shut up her womb. I want you to look at that verse and realize the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, folks, you're going to go through something in life. There's going to be sorrow, and it's not always the devil. There's going to be some trials in your life that God appointed, and it's not always going to be the devil. That's how the charismatics always look at things. They always blame the devil for everything. The devil did this, and the devil did that, and the devil had this, and hey, there's a God that's above the devil. The Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. It was a sad thing. Hannah was a woman that was in sorrow. Now, she was blessed with materialism. Elkanah was a blessed husband. I mean, you can look over there in verse 5. It says right there, unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. He loved her. Her needs were taken care of. He loved her. He loved her above Peniah. She was well fed. I'll bet she was well dressed. I bet she was taken care of. I bet her needs were all taken care of. I'm sure she had all the conveniences of a modern-day Christian. I bet if you walked in Hannah's house, you would see a door that had the trim of it with a scripture sign, and you walk inside the door there, and you look, and boy, I tell you, you'd see the Anderson windows over there, and you'd see the fine tapestries inside the window there, and you'd look inside, and everything would be neatly and in decor, and you'd go on there, and you'd see the kitchen, and everything was just kept proper and just kept right, and everything was just tidy. I bet you look over there, that everything, the couches were pure leather, and maybe the furniture was maybe mahogany. And as you walked outside the house, you could see that the lawn was nice and trim. And you could look over there and you'd see that white picket fence with just brand new fresh paint on it. Something was going on in Hannah. The materialism and the conveniences and the pleasures and the life-sustaining needs just didn't help.
there was some things going on, and the Bible says that God shut up her womb, and it was the Lord that shut it up. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, it would be strange. A stranger would walk into Hannah's house and say, hey, this is a blessed woman. Well, she was. Look in verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? I mean, everything on the outside was good. I mean, Elkanah was the kind of husband that just her wife didn't lack. He didn't lack for anything. Elkanah took care of every need. If there was a problem, Elkanah was there. If there was a complaint, if the kitchen sink was leaky, he'd fix it. Amen? You have to listen to your wife 100 times, fix that leaky sink! Can you take the garbage out? That wasn't Elkanah's problem. Elkanah didn't have any problems like that. He told Hannah, aren't I better to you than 10 sons? That's this bold statement in Scripture. That means that was some husband. But there was something going on in Hannah that I want to bring to your attention tonight. Because not everything's going to go your way in a Christian life. Things are going to happen, and it's not always going to be the devil. I left Bible school here in 95. I believe the Lord wanted me to take a small flock in it, and I believe the Lord called me up there, and I still believe it to this day. I don't doubt my calling. I know it's true. I went up there as a group of people. They started ministering to them, and one of the brothers here that made it through 3 years of school, he's here tonight. God bless him. He's here, Brother Pizzo. I went up there in 95 and started out in a small church. It was just a small group of folk. I started out there, and before you know it, I got sick as a dog. I had lost 30 pounds my third year of school here. I thought I had cancer or something. I'd been to every single doctor down here. I mean, you talk to me about doctors today, I just turn my back and walk away. I don't want to hear about doctors. I know they serve a purpose, and I'm not against doctors. It's just I'm sick of them. I've been every one of them. I was had so many problems. After every service, every week, I'd be in my room in the Bronx and in my apartment. I'd be holding my belly, walking like this, and just crying out in pain. And I don't know who to call. I don't know this. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know what to do. I just come about my wit's end. If I'm lying, I'm dying. My wife's right here. I hold my down there, holding my guts like this and saying, God, what's wrong? It hurt. And finally, I got a Christian on the phone that recommended me to the Christ Foundation. I called up and I met this guy's doctor. And his name is Dr. Michael Frank, and he was recommended on the Crohn's Foundation. He's one of the best gastroenterologists in the United States. One thing about New York, it has good doctors. You could ask the Sample family about that. And so I went there, and he diagnosed me, and after a few times, he said, you got malabsorption. I said, what the heck is that? What is that? What is that? He said, it's celiac disease. It's a small intestine problem. You can't absorb any kind of nutrients. I said, you have to go on a real strict diet. That was $5,000 later. I didn't have insurance. I said, oh, what do you recommend? He said, well, I can come back and put you on. I said, what's it going to cost me? He said, well, you know, I'll work with you. We'll still pay the bills, me and my wife. That was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I mean, what am I saying? I'm saying there's some things in your life that you're going to go through, and it's not just the devil. You're not going to just get into the ministry and things are going to be smooth. You're in a battle. This isn't an ordinary battle. It's somebody whispering in your ear 24/7. That wants to undo you. Like Peniah tried to do to Hannah. I bet Hannah had a grand wedding. I bet in her wedding there was everything was just right. I bet the flowers, there was all kinds of flowers, the roses and the azalea, whatever that is, and all these, maybe some daisies over there. And I bet everything was just taken care of just right for Hannah. The Bible says Elkanah loved her because he gave her a worthy, but he loved her more than his other wife. And then one day Elkanah married somebody else. And with somebody else, children came. And that womb started to get shut up. Hannah had to sit by and watch little children play. With an adversary. That's what the Bible calls her. The Bible says that she was an adversary. Verse 6 says that she provoked her sore and made her fret against the Lord. Provoked her. I'd like to say firstly tonight, if you want to become an effectual prayer, and you're going to have your heart inclined to God. And it's not always going to be, you know, you're going to do without food. It's not always going to be because you get slandered. It's not always going to be because something doesn't go your way. It's not always going to be if you get sick. There's got to be something internally that God wants fruit of. God wants fruit. Christians don't understand this. Some of you sitting in here don't understand that God wants fruit. He wants fruit out of you. John 15 is three levels. There's fruit, then there's more, and then there's much. That's three levels. And God wants fruit. And He wants it from you. Hannah was one of those kind of people where God was going to get fruit because He knew her heart. But He had to get in there, and that bitterness there, that fear, that thing that was holding back. Hannah was holding back. God had to make sure that she was going to yield it up. As her adversary provoked her, as she was watching children grow from youths into young children and into teenage years, and Hannah didn't have any kids. I remember when my son was born in 95, I was in West Florida Hospital right here, and I had a sister that worked in the hospital. And I walked down, and sure, there she was. And she said, "Brother Kogan, I just want to congratulate you. But I just wish that the Lord would give me one." What would you say? How would you react? Is your prayer life in order? That's what you'd say. You say, "What did you say?" I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. She still, to my knowledge, she still can't have children. I don't know why. What are you going to say to that? If you were Paniah, you'd say, "Curse God and die." Adversary. Provoked or sore, the Bible says. And you're going to need something to get you through this Christian life. And after you get out of school, you're going to have trials here. I'm not saying you're not going to have trials. And you're going to have trials. But some of them are hard. Some of them are very hard. Some of them are unbelievably hard. But God gets you through the trials. And then the Lord takes you on to level B. And you get out and have the experience. Not that you don't have experience here. But then God takes you out to plan B and you get more experience. And you're going to have more trials. Your trials increase. They don't decrease. Hey, listen. It was 22 years when Abraham... It took 22 years for God to see the level of Abraham's spirituality before He asked him to give up Isaac on the altar. 22 years of walking with God. God's not in a hurry to get you to this level. But he wants fruit. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we don't have much longer to go. America's the last Gentile power. There is no other Gentile power. Russia fell. They're gone. They're finished. They call us up and ask them to help bail them out. You know what that was a couple Tuesdays ago? That's the beginning of the end! You say tribulations everywhere. We're the last Gentile power. Daniel. Till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Get ready. It's coming. You know, without something to compel you to God, you're never really going to discover God. You'll know God. You'll see God. You'll understand how the framework, how God works. You'll understand how you can get a hold of Him at times and in certain places. But you're never really going to discover God unless you really get your heart yielded to God. And you're going to need to do that. Hey man, Hannah hung in there. You know, your prayer life will shrink up. Your passion for souls are going to dry up. And, you know, your desire for holiness will just wither away. Something's got... You say, "I give up enough yet?" No, you haven't. God's into the perfect way. Hannah didn't end up just yielding one day. It took a while. I don't know how long it took between the times when Paniah had her kids and the time when Hannah was just closed up. I don't know how long. It could have been 10. It could have been 12 years. I know that Joseph was in prison for at least 10. Hey, he's taken down when he was 17. He doesn't get on that throne until he's 30. You say, "Wow, that's God." Has to prove the man. The man comes before the ministry, folks. Does everybody understand that? The man comes before the ministry. God's more interested with individuals than he is with a corporate entity. And God has to start pruning you and peeling you and riding you and putting you through the grinder and making something of you to where you can actually stand by faith and say, God got me through. Hindsight's always better, isn't it? You look back and say, wow. But don't trust in your feelings. Because if half of you or three quarters of you knew if where God would put you in the next 5 years, you'd never want to go through with it. Hey, death's coming. Cancer's coming. I don't care how many herbs you take. I don't care if you're on hibiscus flower, amen. I don't care if you're on yohimbe root, amen. I don't care how many herbs you take. I don't care what building blocks you have. God's going to take you through something. Might be a son that's addicted to drugs. You brought him up in the way of the Lord when he was just 5. He seemed grow. And he even had a desire to go to Bible school. And you see him out there. And he's crying out, but he can't get off the stuff. And you're like, and the devil whispers in your ear, you're not spiritual enough. You didn't pray enough. But your prayer life just wasn't. God doesn't put any condition. God's not conditioned. Hey, listen, every man's accountable for his own sin. You tell me Billy Sunday wasn't a man of God? And his sons, I don't know what happened to his sons to this day. I don't know where they're at. But Billy Sunday was a man of God. Billy Sunday had substance to him. Billy Sunday was what Hannah was. But it didn't happen overnight. And that's what I'm trying to tell you here. There's going to be some times when you're like, God, are you there? The brethren are not sometimes. That's God. That's the way God has it. You can't condition your spirituality or your life in Christ on others. You can't go through a life, a parallel, and look at another and say, how come I'm not there? You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because when you take them off, you go down. Hey, I have no doubt tonight that Hannah had her eyes on Jesus. You say, Jesus wasn't in the Old Testament. Oh, yeah, he was. You ever read about the angel of the Lord? That's another sermon. It's another sermon. I wonder who Moses saw in the bush. You ever read that? I've had many Bible studies and many Bible debates over simple doctrines where people just don't get it. I could write a book on how people don't get it. Chapter 1, they don't get it. Chapter 12, they still don't get it. Chapter 30, they'll never get it. Back in 97 or 96, I had a late. Now I've been in the business of placing people. That means I get people jobs. I always like to justify it that it's spiritual. Usually it's not. You start witnessing, they say, you're not allowed to do that. I say, yes, I am. I start screaming aloud in the office, and everybody gets quiet. Say, what about your testimony? Sometimes I don't know. The testimony goes out the window. The veins start popping in the head. They do one of these things. You wouldn't have seen them if I had hair. Jeannie Davis, former vice president of Spalding Goods, is a big, years ago, I guess Wilson or Nike got bigger. I don't know. This woman has a, let me tell you something. I sat in the desk and interviewed this lady. I said, what are you here for? I had a, she had a resume. A resume, 3-page resume, executive VP, executive store manager, the woman just went up, just one after another, the promotion, unbelievable. I said, what are you doing here? I play secretaries. She goes, I always throw bait out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Always throwing the bait out, seeing if they'll respond. Oh, you? What about that? Praise the Lord. Then I get the witness. A little wisdom helps, amen. Use a little wisdom. I got a guy in church, I'll get back to the illustration in a moment. I got a guy in church who came to me and he had a job in New Jersey and a plant in New Jersey. And he came in here and he started passing out tracts at work. And amen, he passed out tracts, but then he got told to cut it out because it would interrupt from the work, amen. And he told the boss, I have a constitutional right to pass out tracts. Do you get paid to work? Christians don't get this thing. Folks, you got to get a balance. Some of you are about as balanced as a lead ball, amen. down with the Bible, blockhead, doing the same thing. Until I learned, you're going to get canned. I went home. I said, boy. And then the Lord had to show you. So the brother got upset with God. He got angry at God. He quit church. He quit coming. Went to his house, visited him. His truck was in the driveway. Shutters were down. Wouldn't come out. Wouldn't answer the phone calls. I'd left about 50 messages. I said, you know. The cup started filling up. My cup was up right here. I was like, the steam was rising. I was like, my goodness. I can't tell you how many people I've run into in Christ since I've been a Christian or like that. No wisdom. No balance. You need a balance. You better get a balance out there. Before you know it, you'll be accusing God. God, why did you do this to me? And then you know, the still, small, quiet voices say, you did it to yourself. So I spoke to Jeannie and I said, she goes, you're a Christian? Because I dropped the bait. Her eyes got as big as quarters. I said, yes, I am. She goes, she was like all excited. I said, how are you? And she goes, wow, I'm great. It's just so uncommon to see a Christian in this business. I said, well, God's got his people all over him, man. I don't care if you're shoveling manure. I don't care if you're a vice president. I don't care what your job is. God has people everywhere, amen. You got to work, amen. She said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm just here placing people. You're not in the ministry full time. I said, I'd love to be one day, but I have to work. I don't know what to tell you. I have to work. That's where God has me right now. She proceeded to tell me how she was a VP, how she had a good marriage with a husband, how she had good friends. She said, God took everything away. Brother Kevin, he peeled me like a banana. Exact words. That's what's going to happen. For fruit to happen, God has to peel you like a banana so that he can build you up. Because he's not interested in you building yourself up. Because he doesn't get the glory from that. But you can't learn that sometimes. You have to go through it sometimes. It's not something you learn in 5 minutes. Sometimes you don't learn it in 5 years. And I'd like to say that in verse 10 over here, she was in bitterness of heart, soul rather, excuse me, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Sorrow of heart will cause God to draw nigh in your prayer life, folks. It'll cause God to draw nigh. The bitterness there in verse 10, that's not to be confused with the root of bitterness. There's two kinds of bitterness in the Bible. That bitterness is bitterness of soul to get a prayer answered. It's hastiness, it's desire, it's fervency, it's effectual, it's substance, it's got desire, it's got passion. It's getting a hold of the robe of God and saying, God help me. That's bitterness of soul. It says of soul where the affections are at. The root of bitterness is something much different. We'll address that in a minute. God was trying to get a hold of, get some thing out of Hannah there. And had to get a hold of her. And this is where God actually wanted Hannah. I don't know how many years it took Hannah to respond to this. I mean, she could have easily seen those kids raised. I don't know how long. But it was at the point of time that God had her down there. And she said she got so sick of this. You know what she did? She was foolish enough to make a vow. That's not big today. That's why the towers got hit. Because the jerk reneged on his vow. Amen. I believe in vows. You say you're an Old Testament Jew. No, I'm a New Testament Christian. I believe in making vows. I believe in fulfilling my calling. I believe in going out and laboring for souls. I believe those are vows. I believe in standing faithful until the Lord calls us out of here. Until this body can hold up. Hannah had sorrow of heart. She just had, was sorry. Boy, you know, how would you feel? All day you're getting hit with the adversary because Elkanah is out there working, doing his work, whatever he's doing. And all day she's hearing from this devil. Bible says that she's an adversary. You know what you do when that happens? God wants prayer. God's trying to get you down and get you to do some praying. They get to do some self-examination. And that's just where the best praying ever comes from when you're under that kind of stress. I can't tell you, as a brother in Christ, the best praying that comes to me and the best communion with God that happens to me is when everything is just congealing and you're being pressured. And relief comes. And the Lord sends relief. Hannah's being pressured here. She's pressured. And she vowed a vow, verse 11. And said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That's a vow. That's not only a vow, that's a promise to give the child to the Lord. Would you do that, sister? How about you, brother? You're so spiritual. Would you do it? The Lord said, I want you to put your kid in a Christian foster home to train up little kids, but he's going to be, would you do it? You make a vow? Hannah did. Hannah didn't have the Holy Spirit in her. You do. That's a big difference. You want to be spiritual? I'm not saying here, go back to the Old Testament and make vows, but what I'm saying is see God through, amen. And work it out and stay with the Lord and don't give up when he's peeling you and he's putting you through the ringer. Because he's gonna. Get ready. You say you're discouraging me. No, I'm telling you the truth. You get ready. You need to learn. You need to understand when you get out in the field and get out in the work, this is as best as it gets. This is my Antioch. This is where it started for me. From a house church to 10 months down here, where the Lord trained me. The Lord gave me the good manna from heaven. And the Lord just said, get going. Amen. This is a place of refreshment. This is not the norm. When you get out there and start a work, you're going to be careful. You're going to understand there's not going to be many faithful. You're going to start going into bigger churches. Be careful about those churches that you visit, amen? Be careful about, you know, church hopping, you know, trying to get a pulse on what a Baptist church should be. Baptist church should be built on the Bible. I don't need to make an issue about what Bible. It should be built on the Word of God before it's built on anything else. You don't need to have social reforms and alcohol counseling centers and drug rehab centers. I mean, where people aren't going to hear you. You want people, you want to get out there in the streets and say that Jesus is coming. Hannah had some sorrow, a heart that was unlike normal sorrow. That was a barren womb there. This Bible says there's three things the earth is disquieted for. One of them is a barren womb. How about you? Do you have a barren womb? You say you're hitting below the belt. No, I'm not. I'm saying here's the model how to handle it like Hannah. Here's the model. She prays in verse 10. Verse 11, she makes a vow. And over there you'll notice that in verse 11, as she was praying, that backslid Eli marks her mouth. Verse 11, verse 12. And it came to pass, verse 12, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. She'd been there so long, Eli said, well, she's either drunken or something's going on. He thought she was drunken. The Lord had hid her devotion and her prayer from him. And it was something going on in Hannah, some fruit that God wanted to get right, and some fruit that God wanted to reward. And Hannah was out there, and she wasn't going to leave, just like Jacob wasn't going to leave until he blessed her. That's a good woman. Would to God you had all wives like that. Churches that had to be filled with Christians like that. Hannah was praying, and Eli marked her mouth. In verse 13, she spake in her heart. The Bible says in verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli had thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. Listen, folks, prayer doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be who can sound the loudest. That's something you just got to understand. Prayer doesn't have to be something that everybody has to take notice of. Prayer doesn't have to be something that it's just its volume is means something more than its substance. Prayer is where your heart is speaking to the Lord. Yeah, it's better that your heart speaks than your mouth speaks. You know where these mouth, you know where these lips go? They go to and fro the earth and walk up and down in it. But the heart of Hannah was praying. And Eli marked her mouth with a vow. And over there you'll notice that God answers prayer. In verse 17, Eli marks her mouth and said, The God of Israel grant thee thy request. He says over there in verse 17, grant thee the petition. You'll notice that this wasn't just a prayer, that this became Hannah's life. This was a petition. This prayer went from the routine of asking, from the routineness and the surfaciness. This prayer went deep. It went to the soul. It went deep. She wasn't going to quit until she got something from God. Prayer gets effectual answers. God's righteous in how He answers prayer, but 9 times out of 10, it's not according to your fashion. We live in a day and age of microwave Christianity. If it doesn't happen right away, it doesn't happen at all. I read in Isaiah, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. The key word in that verse is wait. Are you able to wait? Now, it's big up north not to wait for anything. I mean, for crying out loud, you can't wait 2 seconds going, behind you the traffic light. I have a tale to tell about that, but I literally almost came out of my car in front of my wife and 2 kids and beat a lady to death. My wife was probably embarrassed, but that's too bad. I was driving down there, and the woman's coming down, and she's honking the horn. I mean, the light was red. The scripture sign was on the back. That's the devil. You know when the devil hits. Of course, I'm too stupid to know. And she comes up, I make a left, and so I kind of step on the gas. I was teasing her a little bit, and she came up. Now she followed me down, honking the whole way down. The light turns, I make a left real slow. And she comes up, and every other kind of ungodly thing came out of her mouth. And I was ready to put it in park. And my wife was like, No, don't do it! No, don't do it! Don't even do it! The kids! Think of the kids! That wasn't a good night. Say, was the Lord in it? Oh, He's in everything. We need the brother here that preached on patience, Brother Leakey. Remember he preached that message on patience? Well, I was here in 95, or 94 was. He preached a great message on patience. That's what I need. That's what we all need. Patience, when people are cussing you out, yeah. Yeah. Because you got the signs in the back. And the reason that they're honking is because there's something in them that hates that word. And they're looking for you to get out and prove them wrong. Or prove them right. It gets tough sometimes. That's a tough city. It's not an easy place to minister. It's people are just mean, boy. I guess people are mean everywhere. But they're particularly on edge up there because there's no God in the land. Maybe they lost the South lost the war, but they kept God. Big time. Big time. So how do you know? Come up north a little while. Come up north a little while. You'll be wanting to come back down south. You forget it. God gave an answer to Hannah's prayer. He gave an answer, like He always does. It's not according to your time. It's not according to your fashion. It's not how you like it. God's not in the microwave business. God, as a matter of fact, is in no hurry to get you going on out of here to another ministry unless He's called you to it. You know, some of you are just getting out of school here. You're not always going to be called to the mission field. Amen. I was down here. God, send me to China.
I had a brother that preached on China, all three sermons here at Blowout. I forget the brother. He was on China. I was like, God, it's me. I got to... Nope. Oh, do you want me to go to China? No answer. Then I got the phone call from up north. I went. God's righteous in how he answers prayer. It's not according to how you think he's going to answer it. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. You're looking for an answer and something else comes in the back door. It's not always instantaneous. 9 months later, Samuel was born. I don't know how long it took for God to answer that prayer, but I know one thing. Hannah got her prayer answered. You know why God brought Hannah through that? To get her through her attitude towards God. You say, but it was to bring forth Samuel. Yeah, that too, but not before the work had to be done with Hannah. God's first interested in the primary instrument, which is you. You say, are you effective on street preaching? Is anybody listening when the cars are rolled up? Yeah, you. The work is done in you. That's where the work's done. So you can take a reproach for Jesus Christ. So you can take it and cuss out. I had a Jewish guy come up to me. I was on 42nd Street, 6th Avenue, where we street preach on Fridays at lunchtime. The guy came up to me and he looked at me because I'm always dressed, either in a suit or just like they are. I confront them just like they are. I speak to them just like they speak to themselves, without the filth. I speak to them just the way New Yorkers speak to each other. Had a guy say to me, do you really believe this? I took him like this. I said, come here. And you really don't?
Amen.
Why would a well-dressed businessman come out here and waste his time if I didn't believe this? I said, now you're foolish. And I'll tell you why. I said, because you don't know the Bible. And you need to read it. Now the anger went, ooh. I pray, Lord, give me something as I'm grabbing him. Lord, don't let me do this. Speak to him. I said, okay. Brother, I know what you say about that. That's how you know you're saved. Amen. And as I'm talking to him, I say, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, you need your Messiah. The guy walked away. He walked away. He was dealt with. If you go out like them and you speak to them just the way they are and use their... Hey, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Amen. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be likened unto him. But answer a fool according to his folly, lest he walk away thinking he's got one up on you.
Amen.
Go back in and just... Oh, yeah? Well, this is what the... Ba-ba-ba-bing, ba-ba-ba-bing, ba-bing. That's what you get here. That's what you get here. That's what you get here. You get the ammo here to go out and do the work. God was doing something in Hannah. And he was concerned more with Hannah before he answered her prayer for Samuel. Samuel comes along 9 months later. Not only did God give Hannah a son, but he gave him one of a son that was a hero of the faith. He shows up in Hebrews 11. Here with the faith. Man, was he a prophet. I don't see any rebuke except his son Joel and the other. I don't know the other one's name. Forgive me for not knowing the other name. But Joel and his son take bribes. They're not like Eli and Hophni. They're not like Hophni and Phinehas, rather. You don't read rebuke about Samuel all the days of his life. Not one. Samuel was faithful in what he did. He told Saul just where it was at with the Lord. He went up to the king and he went down and did what God had him to do about anointing King David. And in fear of his life, he did it anyway. God answered Hannah's prayer. And boy, did he have a prayer life. The apple doesn't fall far.
were playing with each other. You couldn't be one of these Bible Baptist guys or these Christian guys saying, you know, is your prayer life in order? Are you right with God? That's what happens. The brother kick you. Then when you walk away, they kick you again. Then when you fall down, they kick you one more time. You wake up and bless you in Jesus' name. That's what happens. You say, is it really that bad out there? No, not really. Let me tell you the truth. I've had more joy with Jesus Christ every year of my life, and He sustains you no matter what you go through. It doesn't matter. Your heart's right with the Lord. But the first precept that you're taught here, not how many scriptures you can know, not how loud you can pray, and not how many souls you can win. It's an emphasis on relationship here. It's not an emphasis on duty. I hope you all understand that. There's nothing wrong with duty. But the church of the Ephesians got rebuked for the duty. Because they left their what? There. One more time. Yeah. Yeah. They left the first love. Your job as a Christian is to grow with Jesus Christ. That's your job. Everything else is secondary. That's what God was trying to do with Hannah. He was trying to get her to pray like she's never been prayed before. And He was trying to get her to change her attitude and her demeanor and her affliction and in her mockery. And in a barren womb, God brought forth a vessel that shined like gold. And that's what God's trying to do to you tonight. He's trying to bring forth a vessel that shines like gold. You need to give up the complaining. You need to put away the worries, the fears, and you need to learn to trust God. But you're not going to be able to trust God until you get with God and find out God the way He wants you to find Him. And it's going to cost you a little. And it's going to hurt a little. And you need to know that. You know that Samuel came and he was the last judge of Israel. I mean, I believe he was the greatest of the judges. I mean, I don't think Gideon, Jephthah, Barak, Deborah, I don't think any of them, Othniel, Samson, whoever else, could tie his shoes. I see maybe a couple of them in there had a good walk, but none of them had a walk like Samuel. He said, how come? His mother. God honored his mother's prayer. Are you a Hannah tonight? How about it? It's quiet. It gets quiet. That's the job, making it quiet. Lastly here, I have to say that God just doesn't leave you with a sobering face. God brings happy endings. I'd like you to look at the end of Hannah's life. I'll be closed with this. The Bible says, weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You might cry. You might say, God, why is this happening to me? Cancer might come. Listen, I made good friends with the Sample family. Very good friends. Are they here tonight? Not tonight. Okay, they'll be here tomorrow. I made wonderful friends with a brother that was dying of cancer. I've never seen more of a champion for Christ in my Christian life. He went out with a shout. He was witnessing head was being operated on. There's only one thing that you could see in that man. That was Jesus Christ. There was nothing else. He'd sit down and get interviewed he's so confounded the doctors that they sent a psychiatrist in them, wondered why he wasn't sad about his state and why he was dying. And she said, the psychiatrist asked him, said, what is it with you that you're so happy all the time? He says, because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going when I die. And she started taking notes. She's note-taking here and note-taking there. And he says, what are you writing? She goes, oh, nothing. He goes, you're interviewing me. I want to know what you're writing. She says, patient finds comfort in religion. That's the wrong thing to say to him. He said, I haven't said one word about religion. He said to her, you got me all wrong. I spoke to you about an individual, not about religion. My confidence is in a person, not in a religion. And that's the confidence you need. She went away scratching her head, boy. We need more people like that. See, that's what God was doing to Hannah. Do you understand? You follow me? That's what God was doing. He's getting that fruit there. I bet Hannah was never the same after that. Amen. Boy, Samuel came.
And Samuel grew, and she brought him after five, about, I'm looking at five, maybe six. The child was weaned. She brought him. She kept the vow. And the story continues on chapter 2, verse 20 here. Verse 24, actually, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. She brings him and she says goodbye. And she visits him once a year. Could you do that? She kept a vow. You know, I often wonder why God calls the great woman, she calls the woman a Shunem great, but he doesn't call Hannah great. I often wonder about that. Like, that's a great woman there, to me. I'm not trying to disagree with God at all. But I look at myself. She gave up her own son. She kept that vow. Because out of her prayer life was Samuel. And out of Samuel's prayer life came David, the king. You say, how did David the king, from an old barren woman, from a consistent line of prayer people? You say, can I be in that area? Yeah. You just got to yield to God. Some of you got to yield. There's something you're holding on to tonight. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's your pride. We're a little bit pride. Some of you, maybe not. Some of you think too much of yourself. Maybe not. I don't know. Some of you are holding on to family relationships. You're worried about what mom and dad think. Some of you need to let go. Maybe it's the overprotection of your kids. That's big. You say, but they're my kids. Yeah, but you got to let go. Do what Hannah did. And he brought happening. Look in verse 8. What is it? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 20, chapter 2. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord, give thee seed this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Three sons and two daughters from the barren womb. Six children, including Samuel. That's a blessing. He said, did it happen quick? No. You say, is God going to answer my prayer? Yes. They say, when's it going to come through in His time? Are you going to turn? Are you going to yield? It's time to yield. It's not time to quit. It's time to go forward. We're in a race. You don't look back. You lose that way. I used to be in cross country. I lost a match in seventh grade. I looked back and the guy whizzed right by me. That's what's happening today. People are whizzing. You're looking back. You're like, you're running, but you're looking back and people are whizzing by you. People like Hannah. God trying to deal with your heart and get you to give something up. Would you give it to Him? What's worth holding on to down here? Give me a break. These bodies break down after 50 years. For nowadays, forget it. Forget it. Your bodies are nothing. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. I was just 30. I'm 36, going on 37. Time stops for no man. Hannah's prayer had a happy ending. Her countenance, the Bible says, was no more sad. The Lord visited her with three sons, two daughters, and Samuel. Samuel goes on to be great. Man, he comes down. He walks down to Jerusalem over there in chapter 16. And he walks into Jerusalem, and the Bible says the town trembled. They all knew Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And as he's walking into Jerusalem, Bethlehem, I think it was Bethlehem, as he's walking in there, the elders of the town, they trembled. Say, what did they tremble about? I was a holy man walking down there. He said, what makes you holy? Probably humility. Probably not wanting to be hanging out with the cliques. That's another message. Being real quiet. Doing your own thing. Like Samuel was. And as he's walking down, people are trembling. Comest thou peaceably?
Yeah, peaceably. I'm looking for Jesse's sons. Just show me the way. Well, Christian, how about yourself tonight? How about it? Where are you today? Are you here geographically or are you here spiritually? Which one? You're here because of the great blowout, or you're here because you need to be? Here because you need to get something? Well, why don't you take this away with you tonight? Why don't you take away, am I going to be yielded up? Why don't you give whatever you're holding on and give it to God? Why don't you? You might find some blessing in it. You might find some peace. Out there in a mission field, our brothers and sisters are out there. They need your prayers. They're yielded up. Those are the ones that have left this country behind to go out. How about those evangelists? Man, they have it hard. Brother Gip, forget it. That guy's life, forget it. He's in pain 24/7. You see, does he quit? He doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. He doesn't get discouraged. I'm sure he does, but you know what? He's got the Lord is on his side. Folks, it's time to do so. It's time to get with God. It's time to become a Hannah. You say, I'm a man. Hannah's more of a man than half of you.
Amen.
It's time to get serious. It's not time to quiver. Not time to go back. Not time to evaporate. It's time to get serious. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
As far as I'm concerned, a couple Tuesdays ago, that's the beginning of the end. That's the United States financial empire right there. Guess where it's at now? It's on the ground. It's rubble.
Amen.
I saw as Lot was walking out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happened when Lot was walking out? The fire and brimstone came down. We're just at the time when the Lord's going to say, okay, my people, enter into thy doors and close them. That's where we're entering. That's where we're going.
Amen.
Now is the acceptable time, brethren, not tomorrow. Let's do something for Jesus Christ. Amen. Sir?
Let's stand and have our musicians come up. We'll sing three stanzas of number 359. Three stanzas of 359. You know, funny thing happened the other day. Somebody sent me an email from somebody about the number 11. I have a book on numerology published maybe 25 years ago showing what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the Bible mean. There are some numbers that always bother me. I couldn't locate them. One of them is 11. And the folks at the bookstore showed me a copy of that book. And when it came to 11, it said suggested the things in the Bible, and then it finally wound up with, I don't know exactly what this number stands for. But it looks like it means something to do with an approaching catastrophe. And I got my information not from crap games. You shoot craps, you say 7, 11. And I know what 7 is. 7 is completing a thing. But why do you say 7, 11? I know what 12 is. That's Israel. I know what 10 is. That's the Gentile. That's for certain. And I think right in the middle. To that Gentile, that Jew. And boy, the thought struck me. This guy sent his email. This email comes in. Well, this thing up here in New York with this twin tower is 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11. The numbers in the planes, the number of people in the planes, the takeoffs, the landings, the time, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11. You ever heard folks talk about till the 11th hour? I think it's right for a crisis. They remember me. Then I thought myself, well, now, what do you think about that? November, we call that the 11th month, and Armistice Day was the 11th of November, 1918. That's when God was through with the Gentiles. That's the Balfour Declaration. Right, 10 and 12. 11th on the 11th. So I'm with the brother in eschatology. I think you're on the flip-off right now. But again, don't panic now. Win all the people of Christ you can. If you're not saved, get saved, stupid. The time's running out. If you are saved, try to get somebody else saved. And let the chips fall where they will. Let's sing first and third, fourth stanza. Now, some here at the altar praying. If you'd like to come, feel free to come. The brother's giving you a good message. And along with this message, you may notice that when Hannah finally gave up, see, gave in completely, then she began to bear fruit. See, they are the kids. Children are the fruit of the womb. If a church is going to be a heavenly delivery room where people are saved, the people that have to be willing to give up something, or they can't bear fruit. Or listening, my faith looks up to thee. My faith looks up to thee. Do business with God, come on down to the altar, just talk it over with the Lord. We won't bother you, nobody will bother you. Nobody's going to count the decisions, just between you and the Lord. While life's dark maze I tread, and grief around me spread. At 10 o'clock in the morning, be at it again. Brother Don will dismiss us with prayer. Amen. Amen. Amen.